We have a very special interview here with Dr. Sasha Mitrofanov. Now, Sasha Mitrofanov is the relationship wizard. He helps men who are tired of being lonely, confused, and unhappy, and he says that's the vast majority of men behind the act they put on. He helps them take responsibility for their lives, break free from their addictions and anxieties, own their true desires, and develop healthy relationship skills so that they can create happy lives for themselves and their families. In brief, Dr. Sasha helps men to man up and to become worthy of building a relationship with emotionally mature, great women. Sasha comes from St. Petersburg, Russia, and currently lives in Wales, United Kingdom, with his partner, Shoshana, and their six-year-old daughter, Aaliyah. Sasha Mitrofanov, it's a delight to have you on this call with me today.
Hello, Annie. It's a pleasure to be
here. Hi, Sasha. Yes. There's a little technological mishap before, but hey. So, Sasha, how did you get to be the relationship wizard? What took you into the world of studying relationships?
Well, my own life. Mm-hmm. I've been struggling for many, many years trying to understand who I am and how can I relate to women. I've been lonely. I lived on my own for a long time. And I've been dating for a while and not always successfully. So really it's my passion and my experience of sorting out my own love life that brought me to this strand of work.
Mm-hmm. And so I really have to ask you, what now that you know so much more than you did then, what were you doing wrong?
Everything. I was completely clueless about mm-hmm. relationships, about dating, and I would say the biggest thing that I was doing wrong is I was thinking that mm-hmm. everything in my life will be sorted out as soon as I get a great girl, a great woman into my life. And so basically I was putting all my stakes on, oh, I'm single, that must be what is wrong with me. I need mm-hmm. to find a girlfriend, then everything will be magically transformed. That's probably mm-hmm. the biggest mistake.
So a partner was going to be the magic wand who would make your life and you whole.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So yes. I didn't feel whole in the slightest. So for me, it was really finding someone to connect to share my emotional baggage, and somebody to be close to. Because you know, I felt lonely for many many years of my life. So it was really myself thinking, okay, I'll get a girlfriend, then everything. All my anxieties, all my own addictions, everything will be transformed. And obviously that wasn't the case.
Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting because that's exactly what women seem to believe too, which is why you can get two very needy people who get together and then it works horribly badly. So how did you become aware that was not a good idea? And how did you start to change it?
Well, a few of the long-term relationships that I formed, they failed miserably because they were based on this mutual need. And, you know, how I speak about it right now is these relationships were completely codependent.
Yes. And codependence?
Yeah, but it's when two partners come into the relationship not because they're happy and fulfilled and they just want to share their happiness or they want to create something together, but because they're both needy, unfulfilled, and think that another person can complete them. And mm-hmm. that's the recipe for the disaster right from the outset.
Rather, yeah. So how did it start to change for you?
It started to change for me when I finally understood that it's all about me, that before I actually sort out myself, before I stop being needy, before I become wholesome in myself, before I can really can look at myself and say that I fully accept myself as I am, that I don't need a woman in my life to complete me, nothing could shift. And it's only when I embarked on that journey when things started to change, because everything was transforming in a way that, you know, going on a date, I wasn't going on a date anymore to, as if it was a school test where a woman would be rating me off in terms of how good I performed, or not going on a date because I crave for intimacy, but going to share my joy of life, to share my passions, and just to be with another person. And right, so this way, and obviously it wasn't instantaneous for me. It took a few years. It took a few deep conversations with other men, and I'm very grateful for those men to be in my life. And it took a few conversations with my female friends, and lots of books I've read, lots of self-work, and then finally, when I was ready to say, hey, I don't need it in my life to make me happy, happiness comes from inside me, then when I started creating those co-conscious relationships as compared to codependent relationships.
Yeah, and that's a lovely distinction between needing to have someone in your life to complete you and wanting to share what the richness of you, really, with another person.
Absolutely. It's a very subtle difference how it is possible to be wanting another person and, yes, not to be needing them in the slightest.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the things I wanted to ask you, does that make for a different quality of love? Because there's all this kind of stuff in the media about how you can't live without the person you love. And is that how you experience it, or is that more on this side of codependence?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, everything what I see in media, or at least 99% of it, it speaks about love, but has nothing to do with love. It has everything to do with the need and with codependency, and so little to do with actual love. So that's, you know, because of all these messages we are getting bombarded by from media, from school, from our parents, from the church, speaking about love, and yet none of them, or very few of them, can actually speak about real love.
And did you know that actually sends goosebumps up my spine when you say that? Because it's absolutely true. I agree with you. We have all these images of love which are promoting unhealthy love based on needs. And what does healthy love look like for you?
That's a very difficult question. So there is no one definition that I can give for love. There's not something which I can, you know, encapsulate in a single sentence. For me, I would say there are qualities of love, of qualities of what it's like to be in love with someone. And when people speak about unconditional love, for me, that's the only love that is possible. Love doesn't have any conditions. And love is really, for me, it's wanting the best for another person. So, for example, if I'm dating someone or if I'm in a relationship with someone and this person doesn't want to be with me anymore for whatever reason, then because I love this person, I want the best for her, for them, which means that for me a loving thing would be to let them go.
Yeah, which is very, very generous. And you say that love is wanting the best for another person. My thinking is that it's also thinking the best of another person.
Yeah.
That's very much part of being unconditional.
Yeah, it's expecting the best. It's, in a way, sometimes it means not allowing that person to be stuck in their issues and their problems, but inspiring them to be the best they can. And I was just remembering actually what happened literally a few days ago between me and my partner, and I had certain worries about my business, about where I'm going in my life. And my partner really saw the best in me. So she basically told me that, you know what, that's this person who is worrying all the time, who is anxious, that's not Sasha who I know. She was inspiring me to be that guy, that man who she knows I am. And once she was able to relate to me on that level, all my anxieties and worries of that moment just went out of the window.
And I love that word, inspire. She was inspiring you to be the best you could be, rather than criticizing you for not living up to her expectations, because it is an unconditional love. Is that right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and that kind of love makes it very much easier to keep going forward and keep being the best you can.
Yeah, so for me, the love is love between two people is when these people meet together, not to get something from each other, but rather to co-create something wonderful together, to share the parts of themselves, to share really the best they can, to give, and then the process becomes mutual. So the more you give, the more you receive, and then when something beautiful can actually happen.
And that's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And can we just go back now to you and your story? Because I know some interesting things happened. I believe you studied with the PUAs. Is that right, for a while?
Absolutely, yeah. I remember when I was single and lonely and completely lost, and I didn't know what to do, because whatever I've listened to from the TV and radio, watching the films, I've tried all that. I've tried going on dates with women and giving them presents and being really, really, really nice to them. Mm. And yet I couldn't create a single relationship. So most women who I would meet would perceive me as a friend, simply as a platonic friend, but there was no spark, there was no attraction, there was no chemistry, nothing was happening. So I was I was desperate. I didn't know what to do. And I started looking there, searching the internet for solutions, and you know, now you can find everything on the internet. And that is when I discovered this so-called pickup community or seduction community, where a bunch of guys who were in there all in very similar situations of starting up with not being able to date anyone and being very, very frustrated, lonely, and desperate, them devising the techniques of how they can lure women of their choice into bed. And, you know, this despite this community has probably started about 10, 15 years at best, it's actually been evolving a lot. And, you know, there are a few books written right now about it. For example, The Game by Neil Strauss.
Yeah, I love that book, actually.
And it really shows, you know, the game shows how many of these men have developed all the sophisticated tools and techniques and systems of how to attract women. And mainly this system was designed to how to attract really young women in bars and clubs.
Yeah.
Especially in places like Hollywood and Los Angeles. And at the same time, they were not really designed to be able to create something more long-term than just a series of one-night stands.
Yeah.
And despite this man becoming really, really effective in attracting women, they were still lonely deep inside, and they still needed this constant validation of attracting these women into their lives in order to prove to themselves that they were worthy of women's love, or that they were worthy of living.
Yeah, And Neil Strauss's own story was that, as I remember it from the book, was that he went from being an absolute nerd to being very attractive to women, and he found that very dull. And eventually he fell deeply in love with a woman who didn't play the game by his rules.
Yeah.
She didn't fall into bed with him. And somehow that opened up a whole new space for him.
Because, yeah, and that's the experience of many guys.
Yeah. Yeah, and that really brings us on to the next area that I'd like to talk to you about, which is how do women understand men better? How do women really make themselves attractive to men? Starting at the very beginning, what are men looking for when they go on a first date? What makes a woman stand out for them?
Well, I can speak either for majority of men and, most of men. And again, I can't give you the exact percentage of that, whether it is 70%, 80% or 90%. But most men, they're deeply unconscious. And when they go on a date, what they're looking for in a woman is very simple. It's simply her physical attractiveness, and how flirty, how sexy she is, and maybe just some rudimental conversational skills. So not much, really. Not much.
That is very, very basic. So actually, if a woman shows that she's intelligent and she's witty, that won't make a huge impact on the first date necessarily.
Exactly. I don't think that, that actually what she brings into the conversation matters that much for majority of the guys, because, they themselves come to a date not from the point of view of okay, I'm going to see how smart she is, how funny she is, but really they're themselves feeling very insecure. Even if they put on this facade of being confident and strong, behind this facade, there's still very, very young, immature, insecure boys who actually want to impress you, who want to impress a woman. So they're just too busy thinking in their heads about, okay, what do I need to do to impress you to look for any clues from her?
Right. And
so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is this age-related at all? I mean, would this be the same in a 50-year-old as a 20-year-old, or might they have more emotional tools to bring to the table?
Not necessarily. I remember I met with a guy who was 48 recently, and, for his whole life, he's had a strain of 3 months relationship. So his longest relationship was 3 months. And he was... despite being nearly 50 years old, he was going into all interactions thinking about, okay, what do I need to do in order for me to deserve to have the second date with her?
So you've got this situation where you've got two people on the first date, both desperately trying to impress the other and not being terribly aware of what's actually happening between them.
Exactly. Especially, why it doesn't change with age is that, okay, age definitely brings experience, but it doesn't necessarily bring wisdom.
Gosh, so the man's biggest worry on the first date is not measuring up, not being good enough. Is that
exactly,
right?
Their own performance. Their own performance. They're sitting there and thinking, does she like me? What should I do next? Should I buy her a drink? Should I crack a joke? Or maybe she likes me now, or does she not? I don't know. Maybe I should touch her. Maybe it's a good time to kiss, or maybe it's not.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the kind of thing the pickup artist really capitalized on. Wasn't it giving you a structure in which, not you personally, but giving people a structure in which to make their moves? So
exactly.
How does a man on a first date know to invite a woman on a second date?
How does a man on the first date know to invite a woman on the second date? Well, for me, I would say again that's for majority of men. And you know, I realize that I'm painting quite a brutal picture here.
You are.
And yeah, and you know, I just want to say a disclaimer that not all men are like that.
Mm.
And, you know, I really hope that the work I do is helping to produce, to develop a new generation of men who are different.
I'd hope so, yeah.
Yeah, and for majority of men, they would invite a woman on a second date as far as she didn't do something grossly inappropriate on the first one.
And what would be grossly inappropriate? What would be an absolute no-no?
Absolute no-no, well, you know, it's got to be something very, very severe. Like, for example, I don't know, her picking her nose in front of them. or getting so drunk that she wouldn't be able to walk and then, I don't know, if I can say it on the radio, throwing up at them.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Yes.
So not really, nothing. Well, maybe she can also say something. Like, if she speaks for the whole date only about her exes or only about how her life was so tough.
Yeah.
Then that could be another reason why she might not get the second date. Or actually, oppositely, if she is holding herself very, very cold and she doesn't show any signals of interest in a man, the man may simply decide, okay, she's not interested. And he may be too scared to call her to invite her for the second date because he's afraid of rejection, because she didn't give him any signals or that she likes him. So despite he likes her, the only thing she did wrong is actually she didn't show any signals of being interested in him. Or at least didn't show any signals that he noticed. And, you know, you'll be surprised at how insensitive some guys are. So some signals that women would show to guys, they would be completely ignored and they'd not notice.
So what kind of signals would they pick up on? I mean, sometimes women think, well, if I sleep with him, he'll know I like him. And that may not be the best idea. But I'd be interested in your thoughts about that. And what are the signals that will work with men?
Well, it really depends on how sensitive the man is. Mm. For example, obviously telling a man directly of how, especially not just at the end of the date, but during the date, of laughing at his jokes and having fun time together, with obvious that both of them are very engaged, as compared to, you know, to the traditional dinner dates where people just speak about nothing really, just about work and about their regular lives.
Mm.
If it's something engaging between both of them was happening and she was laughing, and she told him how much she is enjoying time with him and was touching him, even if it is in a non-sexual way, then probably he'll get a clue that she liked him.
Mm-hmm. So quite seriously, the pat on the hand or the touch on the arm or something is very, very important to a man. Is that right?
Yes, yes. And, you know, what I also like to say that, you know, all people are different. And I'm sure you've read the book that is called Five Languages of Love.
Yeah.
And it speaks about different ways of how people express love. And, you know, for some people, physical touch is very important as an expression of their appreciation or of their love. And for other people, words are much more important. Or quality time. Or acts of service. So different things for different people. So if a man is touchy-feely himself, and then for him, a touch on his hands or a hug will be an indication of that she likes him. Whereas for another man, the touch may mean nothing, whereas the words of affirmation saying that she really enjoyed time with him and he would love to meet him again would mean much more to him than touch.
Right, yes. I hear what you're saying. I have to say that Five Love Languages is, for me, a really essential book, very, very wise book. Is giving sex early on something that actually will make a man better disposed towards you, or is it something that, you know, is not really going to help the relationship? Because this is a question that women have quite a lot, you know, sort of. For the men, it's when should I make a move and so on. For a woman, it's, oh, you know, God, when should I sleep with him?
Yeah. Well, I would say that, you know, sleeping with a guy, not because a woman is genuinely really wants to, you know, to have this experience with him, but simply to kind of to seal the deal of wanting to see him again, then definitely that is coming from a very, very wrong place.
Right.
So it is, if she wants to sleep with him on the first date, on the second date, I don't think there should be any fixed number of dates, any random number given to one before she can actually go and, you know, enjoy having sex with a guy. If, just for me, if a man is not able to appreciate what she's got in terms of her intelligence, in terms of your emotional intelligence, in terms of your sense of humor, then, you know, what should be better off without him? So then, why would she want to have sex with him anyway?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And that's why my general principle is that women should take their time before they sleep with a new partner. Because otherwise, you get a bit hurt afterwards if you get rejected. So what makes a man want to spend more time with a woman, Sasha?
Well, obviously enjoying his time with her. And so the question is, how can man and why man would enjoy spending time with a woman?
Yeah, better question.
Yeah, and for a man, let's think about what men like. Men like great sex. So quality of sex is important. And obviously all related to sex, sensuality will be important as well. That is, for example, if you're having good hygiene and smelling good and basically taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
That's on top of the list. Then also having fun is what's important for men. So question is, okay, what does that man like? For example, if he likes sports, then maybe going to a sports game together, having a fantastic time at sports game and then going for drinks afterwards would be a great date idea. So it's sex, it's fun, and also probably the most important is when a man can really feel like a man. So if a woman can elicit those qualities of a man that make him feel as a man, then he would want to see her again.
Right. I would think that it would be really helpful if you could say some more about that, please. How do we women make a man feel like a man?
Okay. And obviously that will depend on every man's definition of what it is for them to be a man. And yeah, there are some common things which are promoted by media, what it is to be a man, such as, you know, physical strength.
Yeah.
And then in a way going to a place where man can express that or can express some kind of physical skill. For example, I don't know, he is really good at archery, for example. Then going to an archery range where he can express himself with his physicality could be quite an unusual at the same time great date because he will be totally in his element. Or, you know, this traditional gesture from many movies where a man and a woman going for a walk on the beach and then she gets cold and then he takes off his jacket and gives it to her. So again,
like
something, you know, something very simple. Something very simple. And other qualities, leadership. For men, leadership is important. Okay, so how can she allow herself to be led in a way that the man can feel himself as a strong leader?
And how can
also,
she?
Well, it could be in many different ways. The simplest way, for example, letting him choose the restaurant, which the place where they're going.
Yeah.
Or letting him to pick her up at your place.
Yeah.
So basically, what women can do is to write a list of qualities which are, you know, which are important for them in a man, in a masculine man, and then think about, okay, how can I elicit each of those qualities in a guy meeting? And you know what? If she can successfully elicit all of those qualities, then she will love you for that. And if for whatever reason he doesn't have those qualities, again, why would you want to meet him again anyway?
I think that's an absolutely brilliant idea, actually thinking how she can bring out the qualities in him that she wants him to have.
Yeah.
Because I think that's quite a new idea. Sorry.
Sorry, Annie. I lost my trail of thought. Sorry for interrupting you.
No, I was just talking about eliciting those qualities. What a great thing for a woman to do. So actually, it's involving herself in the relationship in another way. One of the things that women's guides to relationships always say is a touch of mystery. Don't be too available. Hold something back. Make him feel that he has to work in some way to win you. Do you agree with that at all?
Well, you know, that reminds me of some advice that is given to guys in the pickup community in terms of how not to show too much interest too soon, how to pretend that you don't want her, how many times per week to call, how to always finish the conversation first. And that's all the random advice that is devised to emulates a behavior of somebody who's actually got alive. So personally, I wouldn't give any advice like that. What I would say is that if she is the kind of woman who's got alive, who's got something going for her, who's got friends, who's got different things she's doing, who is engaged fully in her life, then all of those behaviors will come out naturally. So she doesn't need to pretend any of them.
So the advice there is first get a life, then get a partner. Yeah.
Yeah. Get a life, don't be needy, then get a partner.
Yeah. Yeah. And you'll be much more attractive to a partner that way.
Totally.
And what are men's biggest relationship concerns? We've gone past the first few dates. We've got a relationship going on. What are their big concerns?
Well, the first concern is that how they can sustain a relationship. And, you know, if for that specific man, the longest relationship he's had in his whole life was 3 months, then obviously as they're approaching this this deadline of 3 months, then he'll be getting increasingly worried about, oh, what will happen this time? How can I make sure that I don't mess up the relationship this time around? So that's one concern. And the opposite concern for some men would be, oh, I don't want to feel trapped. I don't want to be trapped in this relationship. I don't want to be pushed to do something more than what I'm ready for right now. So it's a combination of anxieties about commitments and lack of freedom, and opposites, anxieties about not being able to sustain a relationship. And obviously all the related things such as lack of freedom, lack of not being able to see his friends anymore, not being able to keep doing things in life that he enjoys, such as not being able to take up new hobbies or relationship taking too much time, or taking too much responsibility, or for men who are rich, then obviously on some level being afraid that a woman would run away with some or all of their money.
Yeah, and I think that's a fear that I tended to underestimate, but it comes up again and again, doesn't it? Men being frightened that women will run off with their money.
Yeah, so basically not trusting the genuine intention in a woman.
Yeah. As a woman, how do you deal with this fear of the ball and chain? You know, that's the way I've heard it described at times, that women will slap a ball and chain on a man and basically imprison him for the rest of his life, and then he'll never have fun or be free again.
Mm-hmm.
How do we deal with that?
How to deal with it? Well, first of all, I can obviously tell you from my own experience, from, you know, of how we built relationship between me and my partner Shoshana,
mm-hmm.
is that the big part of it, that ball and chain wasn't ever there. So,
yeah.
You know, the biggest, the simplest way of addressing that is simply not to have the ball of not
yeah.
trying to entrap a man, keeping
yeah.
him free. Keeping him free,
yeah.
because if he is free, if there is no trap, then there is nothing for him to push against.
Mm.
There will be no fear of commitments if there is no fear of losing freedom.
Yeah. So don't try to get the commitment.
Yeah. So it's really, you know, for a woman, when she is okay being single, when she is happy being single, when she doesn't need a man to complete her, when she doesn't need to keep him trapped in the relationship, when she's generally okay with him being free, this is when a man will be more willing to commit.
Mm. So the message, I love you and I don't need you, is a powerful one for a man to hear.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
As far as it is a healthy man, because, you know, for some men, they want to hear the message, I need you. But then in this case, that's the kind of man who is abusive in the relationship, and they wouldn't want
yeah.
to be with that man anyway.
Well, I think quite a lot of women don't quite get that. So my next question to you was, how do you spot the kind of man who it's worth giving a fairly wide berth? You meet a guy, and he's attractive, and he's charming. But that doesn't mean he's all right. What kind of signs might you pick up that tell you this man is really a relationship waste of space?
Okay. Well, obviously, him playing games, obvious mm-hmm. games in terms of not calling or not returning her calls or not turning up on dates, that's something mm-hmm. very obvious. Very striking
yeah.
and straight away it's a sign of keep away.
Mm-hmm.
Then other things is wanting to be not in control, because it's okay to be in control, but wanting to be controlling.
Mm. And
being
can you
jealous.
Say a little bit more about that? Yeah.
Yeah, well, wanting to know where she goes, wanting
mm-hmm.
to know who she spends time with. And
mm.
so really, you know, not just minding his business, but wanting to know some details about her life that are not
mm.
appropriate for that stage of the relationship.
Mm. And I was talking to a woman recently who was just about to start a relationship with someone, and he looked at her and he said, don't you think that nail varnish is too young for a woman of your age?
Mm.
what would you make of something like that?
Well, obviously, you know, first thing that comes to mind is a desire to control her.
Yeah.
Desire to push her in certain age group into the certain image.
Mm.
Being ashamed of being in public with her wearing that nail varnish. So, in a way, not accepting her as she is.
So,
wanting
although
her to
that,
be different straight away.
Yeah. So, something like that, which could sound to a woman like a small thing, if you looked right and sounded right, etc., etc., actually is not a small thing, it's a big thing. Is that right?
Absolutely. There is no such a thing as small thing. Right, because this small thing is just an external expression of something that's on the inside of him. And that's a sign. That's a sign of that something might be wrong. It's not necessarily straight away of he says something like this, and you have to split up. But definitely, it's something not to be just dropped out of conversation, never mentioned. You know, if I was that woman, I would totally call him on that, and I would find out what it is in him that is not accepting of your nail varnish or anything in here.
Yeah,
and then after that, it's totally possible that there was something actually quite big that is hiding behind this this small outburst, and then if she discovered them, then definitely she should run.
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. So small things are really worth exploring for women. Coming back to men, what are men's relationship hopes, and how important is a relationship, is an important relationship really to a man?
What are men's relationship hopes?
Yeah.
Well, for many men, again, I'm not speaking about all men, but about majority.
Sure.
They are lonely. They are insecure, somewhere deep on the inside. And in a way, for those men, what they're looking from the relationship is for a woman to validate them, to finally to kind of to put a stamp of approval on them, that I'm worthy, I can have a wonderful woman in my life. And all related to that. So to be able to be in public with her, and to be able to talk to their friends, to casually mention that me and my partner, or me and my girlfriends. And, you know, that's probably one of the major things, that many men are looking for validation of their self-worth by relating to women. Obviously, it's not always the case, because for best men out there, and there are great men out there, for them, the relationship, what they're looking for, will be all the wonderful things that women can say. It's ability to co-create in the relationship. Ability to be understood, emotionally to relate, to be intimate, to be emotionally and physically intimate, to create something beautiful together, to grow together, to support each other. All these wonderful things, they relate to men as well. Just not to many of them yet. Which is my belief.
When you say not many of them yet, does that mean that not many men want this, or not many men are that ready to be open to it yet?
Well, I believe that we live in a time of change, where everything's changing, and you know, women had quite a boost in their consciousness in the 1960s, 1970s, with the whole feminist movement, whereas for the guys, they didn't have that. And I believe now we live actually in the time of change. And this pick-up community, well, for many women, it may appear something very hideous. And, you know, for many guys, including myself right now, the pick-up community in its original form appears as something quite hideous. At the same time, this was just a stepping stone on the path to evolving consciousness for bigger population of men.
Right.
And so I do believe that, you know, that more and more men become genuinely interested in creating this relationship with the woman instead of just putting on a facade of being interested.
And it's often said in women's literature that a relationship is the center of a woman's world, whereas for a man it's just another thing in their world. What's your take on that?
Well, my personal take is that for me, my relationship is as important to me as my work. Because both of them serve the same purpose. Now, part of my purpose being on earth and this, you know, this evolving consciousness and developing and growing. And so I partly do that through my relationships, partly through my work. So both of them are equally important to me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for different men, it could be totally different. For some of them, they could be, you know, purely relationship oriented. Or for some of them, they'll be just pretending that they are. And it could be vice versa. Some men could be interested mainly in their work and their business. Or some of them could be just pretending that they are because it's too hard for them to connect with their family at home.
Mm.
So it depends.
Yeah. Yeah. But obviously, if a woman's going out looking for a man, ideally she'd want someone who is prepared to invest in a relationship with her.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I would say that addressing the questions of what's important to him in life mm. can give you some really good clues about what are his priorities.
Yeah.
And again, it doesn't necessarily have to be that on the first date, he'll tell you that,
yeah.
okay, that his priorities are to create a family and to have children. But
yes.
But at least that, you know, that relationship are important to him. And not in order
yes.
to, you know, to complete him or to make him worthy of living, but rather because he wants to co-create something wonderful with that special woman.
Yes. So it's actually about at a reasonable point in the early stages of relating, seeing, qualifying whether he has the kind of features that she would want, whether he actually is interested in the kind of future that she has in mind.
Yeah, yeah, and you know what, it could be even something that they can discuss on the first date. They can mm. speak about their future aspirations. Because, mm. you know, she can ask him about, you know, if everything in your life was exactly the way you want, what would
yeah.
you want, you know? It's like if all the NLP questions about if I had a magic wand, I could wave it right now, and your life would
mm.
be just totally perfect. What it would look for you like?
Yeah.
And, you know, that image that he would draw in response to that question will give you a good idea about how she would fit in his life.
Yeah. And, yeah, I really like that idea because too many women seem to start from the idea that you meet a guy, you fall in love with a guy, you decide you want to be with a guy, then you reckon, well, he's not perfect, but I can change this guy. And I was talking to a woman just recently whose engagement broke down. She had been with her partner, living with him for 6 years, and it was only when the wedding was booked and everything that was going ahead that they finally had the conversation about children. And when they had the conversation about children, the relationship fell apart because he wanted children, she didn't. And therefore, they weren't a match.
Yeah.
And
so really,
sorry, carry on.
Yeah, I was just going to say that it seems like for that couple, do engage not to each other, but to their idea of what each other is like.
Yes. So they were both engaged to a fantasy.
Yeah.
And the first puff of a nappy was enough to blow it away.
Mm-hmm.
Coming back to you,
yeah.
if I may.
Sure.
Yes. Well, a few more things I'd actually like to ask you. I know we've got just a few minutes left. What, you know, are there any things that are guaranteed to make a man lose interest in you or stop him respecting you fast?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And again, that's obviously, I'm trying to try it on myself and see what would push me away, what would repel me or repel my friends as I know them. And, being very controlling, so trying to trap a man, trying to put on too many responsibilities on him, that could be something that would push him away. So basically ripping him of his free will, as well as, you know, all the drama, all the heated arguments, all the tantrums,
yeah,
prioritizing your own needs over his.
Mm.
not really caring about his opinion.
Yeah.
Not respecting him, being constantly nagging and criticizing instead of inspiring him, that would definitely be relationship breakers for me.
Oh, that sounds perfectly reasonable, doesn't it?
Yeah, actually, a couple of other things. Being very needy, very emotionally needy. And, you know, always being emotionally high maintenance. And having a big unresolved baggage of previous relationship and always feeling that baggage in the current relationship. That's another deal breaker.
Yes, and it sounds perfectly obvious when you say it. It's just that if you're carting this stuff around, it's probably so much easier to do it than stop and think about what you're doing. Yes.
Yeah.
Can I ask you, what's the worst thing that's happened to you on a date?
To me on a date?
Yes.
Well, you know, I've heard quite a few horror stories from my friends about what happened to them on a date. And I don't remember anything that drastic happening to me. Well, apart from maybe, I remember this date that started actually quite well. So I met, it was many, many years ago, I was still a student at the time. And I met this woman on a date, and we met for a few drinks, and we got on really well, and we spoke about futures, we spoke about what we like, and there was chemistry between us. Then we had a wonderful salsa class together. So we danced together. And then she drove me back home and we were sitting in the car. And it was this wonderful moment of the first kiss, which unfortunately was spoiled by conflicting desires in both of us, such as for me, I was really dying to go to the bathroom.
Oh, gosh.
Yes. And she was really feeling guilty of not feeding her dog for the whole day. So basically, we had to cut that date short, and I had to run home, go to the bathroom, and she had to zoom home to feed her dog. And then, the same week, I had an incident with a strangulated hernia, so I had to go to the hospital.
Okay.
And while I was in the hospital, she found another guy. So something that started quite wonderfully, finished completely ruined.
Yes, circumstances really beyond your control.
Yeah, stories that I hear from my friends is, you know, of a woman the first day being in the restaurant and her picking her nose or walking off, and really digging it as well. Another story of a woman simply walking off on them in the middle of the dinner. That was quite drastic as well. Or another guy who found his perfect romantic location for the first kiss, just to discover in the moment of the kiss that actually it was a dump and the truck was starting dumping the garbage just next to them.
Gosh. So, one thing that comes out of this for me is that a good sense of humor on both sides has to be a definite plus.
Yeah, absolutely. And good sense of humor doesn't mean that either of the people must be, you know, stand-up comedian or a joker. It's like, personally for me, I'm not really a comedian. I don't crack jokes. And yet, with my partner, we have so much fun together. So much laughter goes on between us, because it's not just, you know, it's not a performance, it's not of one person cracking jokes and another listening and laughing. It's really all in the dynamics of the relationship. It's a fun that people co-create together, the sense of humor that is shared between them.
Yes, and you really do need to be able to laugh with a partner.
Absolutely.
And knowing your lovely partner, I know that she is someone who does laugh a lot at the different things in life. One last question, if I may. What would you say are the best ways for a woman to deal with selfish or bad behavior in a partner?
Well, the biggest mistake is probably not express her feelings in the moments when she is being a recipient of that bad behavior or selfish behavior. So the first thing which I would recommend is definitely expressing your feelings, expressing your needs, and requesting that bad or selfish behavior to be stopped or amended in the way that's respectful of your needs. And also setting boundaries and expectations, saying what's important for her. And if a man changes his behavior and really, you know, willing to listen and understand that her needs, her emotions are as important as his, then they have a future together. And if not, then the best way of dealing with that would be obviously walking away.
Mm-hmm.
The sooner the better.
This sounds pretty sane advice to me. Sasha Mitrofanov, I know we have to stop now because things have run over a little bit because of difficulties at the start of this. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you. Can you tell me about where people can find you and find more information about you, please?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my current website, where I'm speaking to men about how to start developing the ability to date women, that website is authenticdatingformen.com. And I'm also working on a different website as well, which is not published yet.
Mm-hmm. And what's that about?
Because this will be more about relationships, because really now I'm more interested now helping couples with building something together rather than just with dating. So, that website will be coming up soon as well.
And that's what I was just about to ask you. I work with women who have relationship problems, and it sounds very much like you would be working with men who are trying to work through relationship problems also. And
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I don't believe that it's just relationship. There's always, you know, our lives, they're quite complex. And for men, it's not just about relationship. It's also about how he relates to himself. It's about what he lives for, about his work, about his family, about his friends, his hobbies, his life. It is all interrelated. And, you know, my grand idea of actually helping men all over the world to create wonderful lives for themselves, which will include that wonderful relationship with the woman who is perfect for them.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. It's very necessary work. So for the time being, your website is www.authenticdatingformen.com.
That's correct, yes.
And there will be a new one which can be accessed at the very least through that your existing website.
Yeah, absolutely. There will be at least a link, or there could be a completely new content on my current website very soon.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to thank you, Sasha. It's been an absolute delight speaking to you. I've learned loads, and I'm sure lots and lots of women will do the same. So thank you very much, Sasha. That was Dr. Sasha Mitrofanov. Thank you.
You're very welcome, Annie, and yeah, it was my pleasure to be here, and I hope that your listeners found it interesting as well.
I'm sure they will. Thanks, Sasha.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.